Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you.
Father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king going out to wage war against another king will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And I really didn't expect you to say that. May we pray. You can say some pretty hard stuff to hear, O Lord. Pretty tough stuff. I mean, we're taught to love our dad and our mom and our wife and our children. I mean, you're saying some pretty tough stuff, Jesus. Awful hard to hear. More than that, awful hard to accept and believe and to live out. So you challenge us today, O Lord. Oh, it's right for us to sit here and go, "Yeah, that's me." No, not fully. But help us as we try. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We ask it. Amen. I don't know if you were raised this way or not. I know I was. I was not supposed to ever say the word hate. Hate was not to be in my vocabulary. My mom and dad taught me not to say that. My Sunday school teacher taught me not to say that. I remember preachers telling me not to say that. Hate is just not something that you say to another. It's very insensitive. It's cruel. It's just hateful. But used in the context of our text today, what is Jesus saying to us? I mean, Jesus says we're supposed to love God with our total being and our neighbor as ourselves. So we are to love other people. But here's the point. The word hate here means second. Second. In other words, you and I are to be able to detach ourselves from our fathers, mothers, wives, children. We are to be able to follow God first, to love God first, and to love others second. Of course, if you and I love God first, we will love people. But there comes a time in our life when God may call us to do things and to go places that our mamas and our daddies may not want us to do. I know that as a father, I want my children to be able to make a living. And if my children came up to me and said, "Daddy, I think God is calling me to be a missionary," I think I would go, "How are you going to make a living?" I mean, missionaries aren't paid on, you know, you make your quota. You know, don't you think you ought to think about doing something else? You know, we think about those things in life that don't pay a lot of money. You know, how many of us were encouraged to go into art? Music. You know, I mean, you're not going to be a rock star. What's the percentage of being a professional baseball player, football player? Think of a real job. You know, we preachers used to say to one another, walking in the halls of seminary, we'd just look at each other and we'd say to each other, "Get a real job. Get a real job." But when God calls you to do something, regardless if money is in it or not, it's the kind of character and nature that He calls you and me to be. There's a kind of person that He wants you and me to be that can only come as a result of knowing Him as Lord and Savior. If you and I know Him as Lord and Savior, then anything else that you and I would do, it's to His honor and to His glory. If you and I do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we are a good guy, you and I are in it for ourselves. As Christians, you and I only do it for one reason, and that's because our Father in heaven has called us to be the kind of person He has called us to be. We love because we have been loved. We forgive because we have been forgiven. God does not call us to live the Christian life so that you and I will be looked at as a good person, as a good guy. We are to emulate that nature and character of the one whom we call Lord and Savior. That is our calling. But there are those things in our culture who will challenge us to do that, who will put God second. I had a parent say to me many years ago after preaching this text, "You know, preacher, I don't think that you should love your parents any less than you love God." And I said, "That's all right. You can talk to Jesus when you meet Him in glory. You can talk to Him about your disagreement of that. Maybe He's made a mistake. I don't know. You can talk to Him about that. That maybe He should have said, you should love your mom and daddy just as much as you love God." Well, that's not what Jesus is saying here. He says that if you want someone that's number one in your life, it's got to be Me, that being Jesus. You see, this is why they killed Jesus. This is why they put Him to death. Now, Jesus came to this world to die, yes. But He knew what He could say to bring that about. All you got to do is turn culture upside down. Take something that you and I value that's not good, that's not healthy, and have Jesus come and say, "You know, I'm not sure that's right." Well, we'll fight Him toe and toenail. You know, what do you mean that's not right? You know, Jesus is saying to the Jewish people, love God more than you do your family. What in the world are you talking about? That's why when John and James and all of them left their boats, it says that they also left their father. Hard to do in a culture where it's expected of you to take care of your family. That's why when Jesus called this person to follow Me, He said, "Lord, I will follow You, but let me first go home and bury my father." Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead." In other words, God first, everything else second. I went into a hobby shop once and wanted to have a little fun with a guy behind the counter. I was looking around. He said, "Can I help you, sir?" I said, "Yes, I'm looking for a Bible. Do you have any Bibles in this hobby shop?" He said, "Say what?" I said, "You know, a Bible. You know what a Bible is?" He said, "Well, yeah, I know what a Bible is." I said, "Well, you know, I like to dabble in it every once in a while. I like to study it every once. Sometimes I even go to church." I was a preacher, but he didn't know that. I said, "Sometimes I like to go to church and study it. You know, sometimes I pray. You know, sometimes I get religious and talk religion. But, you know, I sort of like to dabble in it. You got a Bible here?" He just looked at me. I was trying to carry on a conversation. He said, "Sir, I don't think you're going to find a Bible in the hobby shop. Usually you find that in places where people take that a little bit more seriously." I said, "I'm just pulling your leg, man." I said, "I just wonder how many people come in here looking for a Bible." He said, "Well, the Bibles don't show up in many hobby shops because many times Christianity is more than a hobby. It's not something you dabble in. It's not something that you do every once in a while. It's not something you do when you have time and you want to do something else. It's something you take very seriously. It's number one. It's what enhances the family. It's what enhances your marriage. It's what enhances your relationships. That's why it's number one." You and I understand this because many of us, when you and I go out to do something, we give it our all. You and I grew up hearing. If you want to be the best at it, you eat it, you drink it, you think it, you sleep it, you let it consume you. Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, that's how our relationship must be. It must consume you. It must be the most important thing in your life. One of the reasons that our relationships are important and grow for those of us who are married is because we work on our relationship. I mean, if I went up to my wife tomorrow and I said, you know, Mary, I'm faithful to you. I mean, you know what? 93% of the time. I'm sure she'd say, well, thank God. You know, the average is 75. I mean, you're at least above average. Thank God for, you know, I mean, we'll just forget what you do that other 7%. But, you know, praise God. Well, you know what she'd say? Well, let's sit down. We need to have a serious talk. Because if your commitment to me is 93%, I think we need to talk about what the problem is. You know, what is our percentage when it comes in our relationship with God through His Son Jesus? Hopefully it's 100%. Sometimes it may not be, but hopefully we hear the Spirit realign us and say, hey, you know, we need to realign this. We're a little out of kilter here. And we begin doing that. Our passion. You and I know that the only thing that's worth having in this world is our relationship with Jesus. We know money's important. Money is not the evil. It's not the root of all evil. Possessions is not the root of all evil. Things are not the root of all evil. The love of money. Right? The love of man, the love of things, the love of the love, that which we might put first and God second. That's the root. That's why you and I make sure of each and every day that we find that in our lives we double check ourselves to make sure that on our checklist, the first thing that we do is we say, good morning, Lord. And the last thing we say is, good night, Lord. We begin and we end with talking and living for our Lord. You and I know that if we keep God first, we're going to take care of our daddies and our mamas. We're going to take care of our wives and our children. We're going to treat everything that we have with dignity and integrity, because God, in His Holy Spirit, is in us, molding us and shaping us each and every day into His image. Because we're working on it. You see, one of the things that oftentimes gets associated with good works is works righteousness. Good works and works righteousness is as different as judgment and condemnation. The Bible says, let your good works be seen by all people, by all men. See, that's part of that verse. There's more to that verse. Do you remember what it says? Let all your good works be seen by men, so that your Father in heaven will be glorified. So when you and I do good works, when we are obedient, we do it not to bring light to ourselves, but to bring glory to the one who has called us to be that light and that salt. Amen? You and I, each day, try to do something that reflects the nature and character of God, because we know not everybody knows Jesus, so we want them to know Him. So we will do something that hopes point them beyond ourselves to who our Lord and Savior is. I had a friend who went to Augusta and got to see the golf down there, and he got to talk to a professional golf player. He said, I play a little golf myself, and the professional golfer said, that's good. He said to this professional golfer, well, after Augusta, what will you do? He says, well, probably tomorrow I'll go into the driving range, thank you. And that guy said, he said, you know, I go to the driving range too. He said, that's good. He says, well, what do you do? He says, man, he said, I go and I practice. He said, that professional guy said, he said, how many buckets of balls do you hit? He said, oh man, he said, I hit at least two large buckets of balls every day. And then he made a mistake and said, how many do you hit? He said, more than two buckets. He said, I go to the driving range, and when I'm done, my hands and my fingers are bleeding. How much do you and I love God? I trust that you and I put Him first. And if not, that you and I are working on that in cooperation with His Holy Spirit, because you and I know that if we don't put Him first, our lives are not going to end very well. May we pray. It is our desire, O Lord, to have you as King and sitting on the throne of our life. There are those times in our lives when we know that we haven't done that, but there are times in our lives when we know that you do not leave us alone until that is rectified. So today we pray that before we leave this place, that we have realigned by your grace that you are number one. You are the reason we live and breathe and have our being. And we pray that as we go from this place, that that will be our courage, that that will be our strength, and that will be the kind of character and nature that we take from this place to go. We ask this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Amen.
Thank you again for allowing us to worship with you on this Lord's Day. We look forward to worshiping with you again. God bless you.